everybody, welcome back. Thank you very much for tuning in. You are listening to the Dom and Colin podcast. My name is Colin. I'm back, and Dom is also here with me. Dom, how are you?
Annyeonghaseyo. I am back. Yeah, you're supposed to squeal like Arjun. You got to stay in character. But anyway, yeah, I'm fine.
I don't know if that's within my range.
You can try it at least. Give it a go.
I will not.
Oh, come on. Yeah, at least, you know, play to the audience somewhat.
Continue. Open the show, Dom.
Fine. Okay, well, I'm doing perfectly fine, thank you. Doing less well now that you won't cooperate with me. But regardless, yeah, it's good to be back and slightly less good to be back with you, but I'm sure I'll manage.
Yeah, last week I was gone. Big thank you, by the way. Lauren Lass, as expected, fantastic stuff here filling in, talking through everything that happened last week. And I think today, actually, it's worth getting into right now. This is an episode, even though it was something I was really, really excited for, just seeing all of these Final Five dynamics with play out with what seemed to be like five kind of free agents. And the first time I watched it, I was really excited, and Dom naturally was not. But upon rewatch, I feel like there really is a lot less than usual to be talking about. Of course, we still have plenty to get to, but I do think this is going to be just one of the quicker episodes of the season for us. Although we say that every single time we say that, it ends up taking at least 2 hours. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, and for a Final Five episode, especially one with this Final Five, where there could, in theory, be so much going on, I won't say the episode itself was underwhelming, even though it kind of was, but there just isn't too much to dwell on at this point.
Like, there was a lot of action. I just feel like a lot of it, maybe it was just the way the episode played out, where after we see the reveal, we realize just how much of that action was ultimately, like, almost pointless, because it was going to go that way no matter what.
Yeah, and there was no, like, big reveal at the end, no big betrayal or any one singular moment that the whole episode was built around. It was more like, okay, well, Dongmin and Sangmin were doing their thing the whole time, as you would expect, and you've seen so much of it at this point that it doesn't inspire the same kind of feelings that it once did, so...
Yeah, it's like, oh, wow, if Dongmin and Sangmin team up, the entire main match is going to run through them. Like, a shocking twist will be revealed shortly.
Right. And if you had told me beforehand that you were going to have Dongmin and Sangmin working together again, you know, that will set my heart aflutter. But it was fine. Like, I enjoyed watching it, but it's nothing to really write home about.
Yeah, I think there is something potentially to the idea that maybe these games with guests or former players are sometimes too easy for the people who are just like phenomenal socially, but we'll definitely get there, because I think like maybe that is some element of like skill to the game when they're going to be doing these games all the time, but we'll get there shortly. I guess let's just get into it. Dongmin enters, and along with him is Jinho, the icon of suspenders. A fresh new look, by the way. I love this, even though it's kind of like an 1800s Amish Pennsylvania look. I don't know.
Yeah, I was not expecting...
Actually, you know what? I'm going to give him Tom Sawyer.
I was not expecting Jinho to be the most innovatory wardrobe guy this season, but it's turned out that way. It's kind of surprising.
Yeah. By the way, Sangmin with his shirt, I guess I'm kind of skipping ahead, that was apparently about five sizes too long for him.
Yeah, that was...
It's like half a dress.
I think baggy doesn't begin to cover it, almost. It was just like hanging off.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they talk through Dongmin and Jinho here about last time losing Kyungran. And I meant to bring this up last time, just a couple of things that I wish I could have been here to talk about. I feel like entering this Final Five now, if we swap in Sangmin for Jinho, which may be the controversial person to want to swap out, but at least for me, if we swap in Sangmin for Jinho, knowing what I know now about Kyung-hoon and Junsak, this is probably my ideal Final Five for this season.
Yeah, I think Jinho or Junsak swapping out for Sangmin would be ideal, but it's very close to the perfect outcome that we would have hoped for at the start of the season. So in that respect, it's good. I don't know if the path that we took to get there is as satisfying as it could have been, but you know, there was certainly some good stuff along the way.
Yeah, and I mean, it's like it's not looking like it's going to get any worse or anything. Like I probably would have said this again last week. I feel like Kyungran leaving last week, this is something we talked about off air, it was like the perfect outcome almost, where we wanted it to be those other five as the Final Five. And I really do feel like, I know I said I would have pulled Jinho from my Final Five if I'd had the choice, but at this point, I feel like Junsak leaving was actually perfect now, with Jinho being in there with like the possible repeat story still.
Yeah, and going back a week, you had Jungmoon at Final Seven, where I think that was certainly her perfect time to leave as well. And it's good in a way that we have like Jinho and Hyunmin and Dongmin and Kyunghoon, I guess, now as well, all in there towards the end. The downside is that those kind of that middle stretch of episodes where we lose like Dr. Yunzung, let's say, or just people who are kind of hovering around the edges but not doing much themselves, those episodes can still be good, but you don't have that, like, that kind of heart-wrenching moment when we lost Sangmin in episode 3. Like, you didn't get to repeat that. But going into the final four now, we are going to lose one of, like, Jinho, Dongmin, Hyunmin, Kyunghoon, and that's going to be a really impactful moment for almost the entire audience. So the next few weeks are going to be really right. exciting, I think.
Right, yeah, we're definitely down to a final four. Like we've been saying since last week, any of these winners, I think, would have been satisfying, and that continues to be the case. And yeah, you're absolutely right that in exchange for us getting these great early episodes where we lose people like Yeowon or Sangmin, and it's like this big shocking stuff, at a certain point, those less overwhelming eliminations have to happen. And I think you're right that Jungmoon really would have been the person that I would have picked to leave. I'm guessing a lot of people probably would extend that streak back one further to Dr. Yunsung, and of course those people can burn in hell, but I think the point is still valid. Yeah, so interestingly, you know, an early start to the action here, when it's still just the two of them in there, Dongmin and Jinho, Dongmin begins to, like, propose a deal to Jinho to work together. And I thought this was interesting because we'll see this episode. My big takeaway from this episode was that it was a really just bad week overall for Hyunmin, and I don't think anything else really changed that much. But I think this kind of Dongmin jumping in before Hyunmin's even arrived and proposing a deal to Jinho really stands out to me as a great indicator that at no point has Dongmin felt like any kind of strong loyalty to Hyunmin, and he's under no kind of illusion that Hyunmin's felt any loyalty to him, which absolutely stuns me.
Yeah, and going back to the previous week now, we have Dongmin offering this deal to Junsok and then ending up working most closely with Kyunghoon, and then coming into the final five, he offers this deal to Jinho. So he's basically worked, or at least try to work with everybody except Hyunmin over the past few weeks. And Hyunmin has kind of hovered around him by default, but that connection really hasn't been as strong as it was in season 3 or at the start of season 4 in quite a while now.
Yeah, it seems like Hyunmin in particular is really taking some opportunities to kind of play off the trust that was once there and like, hey, let's team up. We're totally still good, right? But it seems like he's probably even aware that Dongmin doesn't fully buy it. And I'm sure at this point, after he saw, you know, Jinho get the token of life this week, I'm sure he knows he's on his own. But I do think, you know, what I was mistaking for, hey, they have this tight bond, you know, for the first 7 or 8 episodes of the season, was clearly not even close to the case, which, again, is just like one of the most surprising things of the season to me that I really wasn't onto at all until maybe last week. Because it seems like, you know, the last time I was even here podcasting, it was Dongmin giving Hyunmin the token of life.
Well, I don't really know when that changed, if it did. Like, as we discussed, maybe there was some kind of breach between the two of them that we didn't really get to see, like, either outside of the show altogether or, you know, behind the scenes on one of the episodes. And so maybe it was, like, Final 7, Final 6, where something happened to drive a wedge between the two of them.
Yeah, it's possible. You know, if I had to predict what may have caused that, it doesn't seem like Dongmin would, apropos of nothing, just stop trusting Hyunmin and stop wanting to work with him and stop recognizing the value in having him as an ally. So maybe it was something like completely off camera where Dongmin found out that Hyunmin was, you know, constantly texting everyone like Brad Culpepper style. Or you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. We did see that that curious confessional from Hyunmin later on where he said, every time I work with Dongmin, there are always added people on my team that I don't know about. And you'd expect after almost 2 seasons now of working with Dongmin that he might kind of clue into what's happening there. But that doesn't seem to be the case. And so it's weird. It's hard to tell how the two of them see each other at this stage, because we see Hyunmin try to break away from Dongmin in this episode, but then display this kind of ignorance almost of how Dongmin tends to act, and then trying to like crawl back in his good graces. So yeah, really odd stuff between the two of them.
Yeah, I think Hyunmin in particular almost really had it easy in season 3, where Dongmin does do such a good job of getting people in line, and when Dongmin wanted Hyunmin to be his closest ally, everything went smoothly because, you know, for the most part, because people were willing to cooperate with Hyunmin's plans. And I think kind of like what we saw, a great example of this in the fish shop game, where he thinks his idea to undercut everyone in round 1 by $1 is going to be, you know, the clever level 2 play, when in fact everyone's anticipating this, you know, this is a much tougher field than season 3. And I think in several different departments, Hyunmin's probably had to face the reality that he's not as dominant as he once was.
Yeah, and I don't think he's had a single, like, good episode so far this season. Like, there's no episode that stands out after nine of them now as the one where Heumin, like, solved everything and led his team to victory. It's always, like, Heumin is kind of there as one of the team, but not really contributing much. And there have been a few episodes, like in the Fish Shop game, where he's been actively bad, whereas Dongmin has really just been firing on all cylinders, it seems. So, you know, coming to this final four, if you had told me that Heumin would still be here, I would think, well, that's, you know, even further evidence of his dominance, where, you know, he comes very close to winning one season, comes back for All-Stars and makes a Final Four at least. And yet I think he's maybe the weakest player of this Final Four, just based on what we've seen of him in this season.
Okay, Andrew, I wouldn't say he's the weakest player, although a very hot take coming up when we look ahead at who might have the best winning chances, because I think it's possible he has the lowest equity, despite being one of the better players, I would say. But much more on that later. But I would say that Heumin has, at least in, for my money, in the ID exchange, I think, you know, his plan was good and everyone went with it, and it was just Sangmin, you know, causing absolute destruction that got in the way of that. But short of Sangmin kind of doing what he does, and maybe it's unfair to disregard that, but I think Heumin was, like, the villager MVP, so to speak, in that episode. And I would say he had a good episode in Today's Menu just by being the one person who understood to stand next to your fucking box but when the time's know, the time's clicking away.
But even allowing for that, that was towards the start of the season, and it's just been all downhill from there, basically. Like, immediately after the Today's Menu game, where he was the least bad of any of the people in that regard, we have the Fish Shop game where he just gets completely demolished and humiliated. So it's hard for me to give him any credit for that. And I would like to, as someone who took him very highly, who was singing his praises preseason and would love to see him go on to win, I just don't see that in the cards for him at this stage.
Yeah, I mean, I think the good news for Heumin is he seems to be very good at getting tokens of life, either by hook or by crook. I believe, I looked this up, but I'm skeptical of Googling, like, or Wikipediaing any genius-related stuff from this point until the end of the finale. I'm pretty sure Heumin has either won or been given the token of life something like 8 or 9 times at this point between the three seasons.
Yeah, and I would imagine he's been given the token of life more than anybody else by a decent margin.
I think he's been given the token of life at least 4 times or 5 times.
Yeah, so that certainly bodes well for him. And as I spoke about with Lauren last week, if he does end up in the deathmatch somehow, if he binks 12 Drangi, then that's fine. He pretty much just wins on the spot. And even in the other games that are still there, I think he would have a decent chance. So, you know, it's not like he is in much danger in that regard, even if he does end up going there. And the only way that he ends up there, I think, is if he loses the main match, which could certainly happen given his performance so far, but, you know, no one is taking him there knowing what they know.
Right, exactly, where the second part of not only is he good at getting tokens of life, he's also good at not needing tokens of life because he's never going to get picked. Like we saw this week, Jung-hoon, who is obviously studying these death matches very closely, and, you know, he ends up picking his closest ally and, like, probably the only person that would really want to commit to any kind of deal with him long term to play in the death match, who is also at the same time really, really smart, because Heumin is the only other option. And at that point, there's a 1 in 3 chance that it's just over as soon as 12 Jangi gets drawn. And now that's down to 50-50. And it's not like he's going to be bad at double sided poker.
No. And to steal your hot take in advance, I think we're seeing Heumin turn into Yeowan, where it's like he just kind of coast through the game entirely on the basis of people being scared of him in death matches, hypothetically, and so he kind of floats along until he ends up in the finals, where you'd expect his one-on-one prowess to carry him to victory, but he ends up losing. And I think that actually could be the outcome that we see with Heumin there, to end up with a second finals loss.
I agree. I think Heumin finishing as the losing finalist, we say that it's more something we say in Survivor when someone's getting like a really bad edit, but it doesn't seem like they're going to leave anytime soon. It looks like they're a losing finalist. I feel like Heumin, just by his talent, is looking like he's going to make it to the finals when no one wants to play against him. And he's a favorite in, you know, he's 50-50 chance of probably just being the deathmatch winner automatically if he goes there. But my big hot take was, I feel like we're going to see Heumin round two where he's not going to get any items. And I think maybe in season 3, they kind of buried some of his less redeeming qualities because they had that great storyline of Dongmin and Heumin. And it's a better story if he's like this sweet kid that everyone loves who's also a genius. I think this time we're seeing a different side of Heumin where maybe he's rubbing people the wrong way. And I feel like, once again, I feel like we're getting set up for he's in the finals and he gets maybe 3 items out of the 11.
Yeah, we hear the comparison with Dongmin nowadays, but could Heung-min be the Russell Hans of the genius?
He very well may be.
Or the Amanda Kimmel, I guess.
Yeah, I feel like it may be the Amanda Kimmel thing, where he really is like doing everything as best he can kind of by the book, but people just aren't responding to it for whatever reason.
Yeah, and if he does go on to lose in the finals again, how do we even begin to evaluate him as a player then? Because you can put it down to not getting the items for the advantages, but that is part of the game, like getting on people's good sides enough that they want to give you those items. So I think he would be very difficult to like assess if that were to happen.
Right, yeah. I mean, that's the thing, is I think it would really be a great illustration if he were to go on to the finals and lose when it probably looks like he should have been the favorite if the item distribution had been close to even. If he goes in there with only a couple or, you know, three or four items and loses again, I think that could really illustrate something that maybe we've been underselling as we evaluate the genius, which is just how important the social game is, because those items really can swing one of the finals matches.
Yeah, and if he does go on to win from this point, he might actually end up as proof of something we say all the time, which is just because you won doesn't automatically make you the best player. And again, had you told me Heung-min is going to win, I would think, well, clearly he must have just run a train through the season and put on a clinic. But instead, he is kind of ending up as something that we don't really want to use as evidence.
Well, I feel like the door is still open here. We still have two more main matches and three more finals games, where now that everything's becoming increasingly individual, Heung-min could quite conceivably go on to just absolutely curb stomp these next two games, get both tokens of life, and then win 2-0 in the finals. And we're talking about not that Heung-min was the worst player, but that the genius is a game where merit is going to win out more often than not at the end game because it becomes individual.
Yeah, that could easily happen. And if it does, it's going to be such an interesting reversal, because it would make you think, like, what is he showing here that just wasn't on display for the previous 9 episodes?
Right. I mean, I think it really would, in that scenario, come down to the games just suiting him more.
Yeah, so we've spoken about Heung-min at length so far. We haven't mentioned his hair quite yet, which maybe he's just trying to like steal Simon's thunder or something. I don't know.
It looks like he got like... It looks like he took a shower in fruit punch, basically.
Why that color is what I want to know. Like,
that's what I'm saying. It's like,
of the entire palette that you have to choose from, you think, okay, I want to look like a strawberry. You know, that's his fashion statement for the week.
It's such like an unnatural, like chalk red almost. Although I feel like Yu-Yun had that going on in the premiere episode, or maybe the first couple of episodes.
He did. I think with him, it almost felt a bit more natural because his hair was like auburn to begin with. Whereas Heung-min, I don't even know what's going on here. Like, this is just silly.
Well, we've seen Heung-min really a lot of range on hair colors for all these dudes in Korea, and I, for one, applaud that. I really feel like men globally had that kind of courage to go for it, because I have really dark hair. I can never do anything with it. It's totally straight. I wish it was socially acceptable for me to basically like mix it up, but it's not.
I mean, personal hot take coming here. I think it's very rare that someone dyes their hair and then it looks better afterwards, but yeah, if you want to experiment with it, then obviously go right ahead. You spoke just now about the edit, and you know, if there is a kind of winner's edit that we might be looking for here. And we see Dongmin, when he's talking to Jinho at the start, say, oh, I saw this comment that you made on the broadcast about me trying to act like a king. I think, if my source is correct here, my source being the venerable Mike Bloom, that comment was made in episode 4, which, if that's true, gives you an idea of how far it is between filming and airing. So if it is, what, like 5 episodes the gap, then they would know about Heung-min's eventual outcome, like whether he does win or not, as of like episode 7-ish, I guess. And so like over the past 2 weeks is when we would start to see that kind of ratchet up if he did make that comeback.
Yeah, and I think that's something that kind of gets overlooked, that potential winner edit, because of the way things went down, where I think season 1 is the only really even arguable proof of this, because in season 2, by the time they knew Sangmin won, they had already established Sangmin was just, you know, winning every single main match handily, and it was just more of the same. And likewise in season 3, it was essentially Heung-min and Dongmin from the beginning doing whatever they wanted to get the tokens of life, and that continued, and then they went into the finals and they didn't really have to go out of their way to like now repaint this new person as a compelling winner. And I feel like Jinho in season 1 was already a prominent enough character that it didn't really stand out. And we also had the same sweat that maybe they would set him up this way if he did in fact finish second place like he always does.
Yeah, and the same goes for the others as well. Like, Dongmin is as visible now as he was throughout the entire season, but I've been looking over the past 2 weeks, like, is the content of that taking a more negative turn, or is it kind of, is his star still in the ascendant, if you like? And then for Kyunghoon, his edit has been as bizarre and crazy as it would have to be, just given who he is and how he's done this season, but is there, like, some noticeable change in that that would make you think something either way? And then for Jinho as well, he's always been like this tertiary character almost this season. But then we had that weird scene at the end of episode 2 after Yoan lost a deathmatch where he had like the inspirational music and it's like, oh, I'm going to make this massive comeback and win. And at that point, they would have been filming, I think, episode 7 or episode 8. And so they wouldn't have some like long-term indication for him at that stage. But I think they were keeping that storyline in their back pocket in case he was still here at the Final Four and building up to a victory. So, you know, I think we really could see in the next episode, if Jinho is the central character, that might be a fantastic sign for him.
Yeah, absolutely possible. The thing for me is I feel like the genius, much, much, much less so than Survivor and, you know, Big Brother, they don't have a choice. They don't know who's going to win ahead of time as much as they would love to, I'm sure. It seems to me like the genius doesn't really sacrifice making individual episodes good and shocking and thrilling in order to paint their winner as slightly more likable. You know what I'm saying? Like, Survivor 30 would have been amazing if Mike had really been the underdog, but we knew because of the way they were painting him that he was inevitably going to go on that crazy run and end up winning.
Yeah, and we know that the editing tactics on the show in general are very different from a show like Survivor, but I think that also extends to the winner's edit, or lack thereof, if you want to call it that.
Yeah, and listen, they are more than willing to break your heart, I feel like. Like, look at the Sangmin episode,
yeah,
where he got eliminated.
Or going back to season 3, like, we saw episodes where Dongmin just, we saw him fail in a way that we often don't see Survivor winners fail unless it's absolutely necessary for them to show it.
Yeah, and this is going to sound fucked up because of how much they blatantly and happily manipulate the footage to kind of toy with our emotions, but I feel like at the end of the day, by the end of the episode, the genius is much more honest about the way things went down than Survivor or Big Brother would ever even dream of being.
I think that's true, and I like that, honestly. Like, it's I'm perfectly willing not to have my winner be whitewashed in the way that they often are on Western shows, as long as I get more interesting episodes, because what I want ultimately is good TV, and I don't want the winner's edit to happen at the expense of that. Like, I don't want to sacrifice what might otherwise be a good episode just for the sake of maintaining the winner's perfect reputation.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think, you know, it's virtually impossible that all 30, or I guess all 29 different Survivor winners are all these fantastic humans who had growing experiences every time they won and emerged better as people and then got the happy ending of $1 million. I have a hard time believing that there may not have been some of the rougher types within that mix. It's at a certain point, potentially Brian Heidek, I don't know. So let's move on. We get Junsok enters, and now we find out, Dom, that we're going to be playing this week with guests, and wouldn't you know it, from Mike Bloom's mouth to God's ears, first in Kim Poong. Kind of excited about that, actually.
Yeah, strangely excited. Like, I was not expecting to be this happy for him, but yeah, I think Poong makes sense because, as we see in one of the captions, he's been on TV in Korea quite a lot recently, so he's like acquired this reputation in his own right. Some of the other choices are maybe a bit more confusing.
Okay, well, let's go through them. I thought Doohee was a really good choice. I've always been expecting to see Doohee back.
Yeah, happy to see Doohee back, but we don't get to see much of him in this episode. Like, we see there's that one scene at the start where he's picking his number and everyone makes fun of him, which is like quintessential Doohee material. But beyond that, we don't really see anything from him. Like, he falls into line behind Junsok and Kyunghoon, but then there's no added material to make us happy that he's there. So
yeah,
a lot of missed potential there, I think.
We got on it, Idui, 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 and then like ask him if he was gonna lie down or whatever. That was basically it.
Yeah, and then we had Jongbum, who I was strangely excited to see as well because I'm a closet Jongbum fan. But I think we got pretty much what we expected to get out of him, which is being like this background player who doesn't have a big effect on the outcome.
Yeah, we got what we expected in the form of a 2 to 3 second flashback showing his highlight reel, which was just him failing the Black Mission. And then the rest of the episode, about a solid 0.001% of it was Jongbum. Although, like you, I've always loved Jongbum. Particularly because he looks exactly like what Jermaine from Flight of the Conchords would look like if he was Asian. Yeah, so that I always very much like. We need to find some Asian Brett, and they can form a band. And then Junghyun can be the Asian Murray Hewitt. I feel like he'd be perfect for that. Incidentally, Poon got the Junghyun music this week.
He did.
Now he's a rambling old man.
I was so happy about it. And I wonder what he thought watching it. Like, is it meant to have like the same implications for me as it did for him, or do they just like the music and want to use it again? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's great that it's kind of just played now over anyone kind of going on like a monologue trying to impart wisdom on some young person when they're not being taken seriously at all. I love it.
I feel like that should be the background music here most of the time as well.
Yeah, it really should. We really should have some episode where it's just constantly playing in the background. All right, another person that we're going to be seeing back this week, Ah Young, someone that we've talked about as one of the big potential season 4 snubs. Of course, I think you're on the same page as me. Thrilled to see Ah Young back. I know we haven't done our season 3 podcast yet, but she was one of our favorites.
Yeah, absolutely adore Ah Young. And again, someone who they could have done a lot more with this episode than they did. We saw her be given all of that responsibility towards the end, where she is the one who like seals the game up for Dongwin and his team. But beyond that, there's not much like banter with her or any back and forth.
Well, we do get that great shot of her tripping on her heels, which of course, as soon as she did it, she must have known that was making the final cut.
Of course. And you see the reactions from like Junsok and the other people who weren't on season 3 with her, like having to just be around her for the first time. Like, is she actually a real person or what?
I think Ah Young's hilarious. I can't wait to talk more about Ah Young when we do season 3, which hopefully we'll be doing very soon. I know we have Survivor coming around the corner, but we say that all the time. We'll see how it goes. All right. And then our last guest, Dominic, is the Bandage Man. Check that. It's Sangmin with the greatest entrance in the history of the genius.
So good. Yeah. And I was trying to reenact it here. You wouldn't go along with it because you, I don't know.
I'm not a squealer. I apologize, Dom. I'm sorry that I can't. I'm not the character actor that can really transform myself into Ah Young in a moment's notice. But great call by AJ Mass a couple of weeks ago, who thought potentially when he was watching season 1 that the big reveal at the end would be that Sangmin was the Bandage Man all along and had like insider info, and that's why he was able to just crush everyone. And so, you know, I feel like that's partial credit here for AJ. One possible Bandage Man. I don't think, first of all, that we're ever going to get a reveal of who the Bandage Man is. I don't think there is a Bandage Man behind the bandages. But I think it would be great if they did a reveal for it, like if they knew it was their last season, if it was either Dealer Nuna, or I think the better one, kind of like the Kaiser Soze one, would be the third dealer, the guy dealer, who doesn't really get to do even the main stuff that the main guy does.
You mean Yoon Chul-hyun, I believe.
Yes, I mean, I'm on a first-name basis with him, but I didn't know if anyone else would know who I was talking about. So we have all of our players now, and it's hysterical here. Sangmin asking Kyunghoon how he got that far, and Kyunghoon's like, well, Sangmin Young, I've kept you close to my heart, and I've succeeded, and he wants nothing to do with him. And it is too perfect that Sangmin says about Kyunghoon, you think I'd be fooled by you again, when Sangmin has made a career out of expecting people to just let him torch them week after week.
Yeah, and part of why Sangmin is so good is that nobody points out that hypocrisy. Like, everyone just takes it at face value that, of course, Sangmin is right to feel aggrieved by that. Yeah, and I love that Ah Young is just purely there as a revenge mission to like try and take down Kyunghoon. Like, we can talk about Jin-ho and Heung-min maybe having the best metagame in terms of the guests. Kyunghoon has by far the worst. Like, everyone is just there to see him suffer.
Yeah, and it really is kind of unfair that potentially, and I alluded to this a little earlier, but now may be a good time to get into that. We've seen in these revenge games with the former players, and also in the game sometimes with other guests, where these people who don't have like a vested interest in how the game plays out for the players, they are often the key to the game. Like, who can wrangle them in and get them asked, you know, which player can get the guests acting in their best interest. And maybe part of that, especially when it's with players that, you know, they're going to do it every season. They're going to bring back eliminated players, and in this case, players eliminated from past seasons. That's something that you have to anticipate and have to kind of play around. Like, you can't just be a dick to people on their way out because they may come back. At the same time, is that in line with what the genius is about? Which I would say the genius sells itself as being about, like, individual merit.
Yeah, it doesn't exactly sit well with me, but at the same time, as we discussed on our like season 1 and season 2 podcasts, like, so much of what goes into the metagame here is prior relationships that the players either have with each other or just based on like the industries that they work in or other things like that, where they are public figures, they aren't strangers, and so there's always going to be this these dynamics in place before the show has even started airing. And I think this is just another offshoot of that. So even though I don't fully like it in this context, I don't think it's a big departure from what the show is really about.
Yeah, and I feel like maybe in America, by like Survivor standards, this is almost on par. Probably not on par with like the Outcast twist or whatever. But I feel like in other countries, and I'm saying this mostly because of what I've heard about Big Brother, international versions of Big Brother, it seems to me like they don't really care nearly as much as America tends to care about like game integrity for the most part. And maybe that's fucked up to say in a country where Alison Grodner is one of the three major showrunners. But it seems like there's not a real problem with, oh, these returning players aren't part of the game anymore, they shouldn't have any kind of say. I feel like most other countries don't really care about the fairness as long as it's providing entertainment.
Yeah, it's almost like if on the family visit on Survivor, the family members got to join the game for a round and had a vote and just got to like participate in how the game is playing out. I enjoy that, you know, the guests actually can mix things up and do their own thing, but at the same time it does really warp things in a way that no other twist really does.
Yeah. And it's also, we've seen it now twice, first time in the Super Junior episode, where they're blatantly talking about splitting the guest prize money, which obviously changes things if the guests are allowed. There's a reason that in every American show, and presumably on The Genius too, you're not allowed to split the prize money at the end of the game.
Yeah, and I think both in this specific episode and in these guest episodes in general, being on the good side of the guest is the best thing you can be doing. Like, almost regardless of what the actual game is, if you can have the guests on board, or at least some of them, then that gives you a massive advantage. And I think that's no different here, where the best strategy, it seems to me, is engineer that kind of outcome where three of the guests get to split the prize money and team up with one of the other genius players.
Right, and it almost seems like, I mean, come on, $9,000 is prize money instead of $10,000 or $5,000 or something. Like, $9,000 seems like it was deliberately designed to be split by three people.
Yeah, it's they couldn't really set it up any more obviously than that. And so you have to think that the genius players are aware of this and would be, you know, doing what they can from the moment the guests walk in the door to make that happen.
I think the other big consideration is if the guests have, based on the game, their own separate win condition where just one of them can win, kind of like what we saw, and this is the example I'll use, in the chain auction in season three where Jinho and Sangmin came in, and if either of Jinho or Sangmin won, they would get $10,000. Sangmin, I'm pretty sure this happened. It was not made clear on the episode. I think the reason Jinho won, if I did the math right when I was rewatching season three, is Sangmin just gifted him most of his chips, however many it would take to put Jinho in first place so that Jinho could win and they could chop the money. But Hyunmin actually won the game if Sangmin had not done that.
Yeah, there have been some debates among the online fan base about how, you know, given that Jinho is looking to make another deep run this season, just how good was he on his first few outings? And one thing that gets brought up a lot is in that game in season three, where ostensibly he won against this tough field. But I think in reality, not only did he have Sangmin, you know, working on his behalf to make sure he won and to push him towards first place, but he also didn't have to worry about things going wrong for him. So he could afford to take this very risky line if he wanted to, because if it goes badly, okay, maybe he doesn't win money that he didn't have anyway coming into the game. Yeah, but he's not at risk of leaving the game because of that mistake.
Right, like we saw again in Chain Auction, they really didn't care at all because Sangmin and Jinho don't have a death match to be worried about if they lose.
Yeah, and so the other thing to consider is not just whether people should be trying to work with the guests, but who is in the best situation to work with the guests. And I think here, we said Kyung-hoon is maybe not starting out in the best position there, but Jinho is good friends with Do-hee outside the game. He still has this level of camaraderie, I imagine, with Sangmin, and Pung and Jinho worked very closely in season one together, so, you know, I think he comes in with three of the five guests really wanting to actively work with him.
Yeah, certainly he's not offended anyone. He's never, like, Jinho is not the type to commit to you and then betray you, really, to speak. Has he ever really betrayed anyone in his entire genius career?
No, I don't think so. And that's why I don't know if Dongmin was, like, considering this when he made his offer, but Jinho, I think, regardless of anything else that's going on, is a perfect person to approach when you know that the guests are coming in for the game.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like Jinho, certainly Do-hee, I think that was one of the more underreported things about season two, was the Jinho Doohee Yoan bond. I know we talked about that when we were podcasting about it. And similarly, I feel like this season, just on, you know, following them on Twitter and seeing them, knowing they're both poker players, Yoan and Yuyun are like good friends in real life, which didn't end up playing a role, but certainly could have. But yeah, I think Jinho's certainly in a good position here. I think Dongmin's certainly in a fine position here. I think people really do tend to like Dongmin. And I would absolutely say that Hyunmin is in the worst position. Or I guess Kyunghoon is in the worst position with two of the three people, or two of the five people are deliberately trying to target him. But I feel like as things go on, when it comes to item time, Hyunmin's going to be in the worst position.
Well, Hyunmin, he does have Jongboom and Ayoung, who are two of the three people who did support him in the finals in Season 3. But I don't think he or Dongmin is really in like a good or bad position coming into this game.
Well, when Jongboom and Ayoung supported him, and then his third supporter was Dr. Yoonsung, who went out even after them, if you think about it, at that point, it was 6 items for Dongmin and 0 items for Hyunmin.
Yeah,
or 5 or 6.
And that might have been the deciding factor there. But regardless, I think there didn't seem to be any like bad blood between them. I think Jongboom, if anything, was surprised that Kyunghoon was still there. And it's like, how is this guy on an All-Star season going to the Final Four as a serious candidate to win? And I, who made it like 5 episodes further than he did, is going to be like a chorus member in the one guest episode. Like, it must have like really rubbed him the wrong way.
Yeah, although I feel like Jongboom is someone that I feel like is like one of the better allies. I would say the same thing like I said about Dr. Yoonsung earlier in this season. I feel like he's almost a perfect match for someone like Hyunmin, where they really do want to sit down and I think put pen to paper and come up with a good plan and just stick to it and have confidence in the close people, the people that they're working with closely. I think basically they're kind of like small group kind of people rather than large group kind of people.
Yeah, Jongboom to me feels very like Jinho-esque. If that makes sense. Like, he's always going to be a good team player. He's not going to be betraying you or like selling you out. He just wants to be kind of behind the scenes doing stuff but not attracting much attention.
I think this is going to sound very, very weird because it's impossible to imagine this being the case, but it'd be incredible to see someone, if they put Haha in there instead of Dongmin for season 3, just some comedian, or Hongchul, some comedian who doesn't also have that just incredible charisma and intelligence, where to see how season 3 would play out with just like a standard comedian that one might imagine, just kind of like this wacky loud guy, where it's not Dongmin kind of getting Hyunmin and everyone else in line, where it really is kind of a mishmash. I feel like Jongboom really could have excelled there.
Yeah, I did wonder the other day, like, what if on this season, instead of Dongmin, you had either Gura or Hongchul? Like, does either one of them step in to fill the void that Dongmin left? And even if they do, I don't think either of them is as good at it as Dongmin would be, so maybe they end up flaming out early on, and then the whole season after that point ends up going differently.
Well, I feel the same way about Sangmin and Dongmin that I feel about like Will and Dan and Big Brother, which is you're wasting your time even attempting to do an impression of these players because no one can pull it off except for them. I don't feel like, I'm not saying no one can be as charismatic as Dongmin and no one can be as clever as Sangmin in the world. But I feel like attempting to do something along those lines when, you know, people just don't have what it takes to actually pull that off the same way that Dongmin does is just going to get them in trouble.
Yeah, I also wonder, because we were saying after Tony won season 28 of Survivor, whether the following few seasons we'd see like these imitation Tonys who were just trying to do the same thing that he did. I wonder if this had been a regular season, like, would we see someone try to play like the same lead from the front Dongmin style game, or would it just revert to business as usual as we saw in season 1 and season 2?
I feel like it would kind of revert to business as usual. I think Dongmin just can't play any other way. He's got to have, you know, people basically either with him or against him. And I think the genius in a normal environment without Dongmin or a Dongmin type there, when you have that many people, 13 people, I think it is often going to devolve into either 2 or 3 kind of medium-sized groups early on, rather than just one big group where every single week it's someone else kind of getting the short stick. Yeah, I think it's just such a high-risk way to play. Kind of like, Dongmin is honestly like a much more charismatic version to me of like Jimmy Cha, where he can figure the games out and people want to listen to him. But Jimmy Cha was going to be a target for the other side because people weren't, first of all, in love with him, and second of all, necessarily that afraid of him. Yeah. All right. Let's get into the game, Dom. And it is Horror Race 2. Some tweaks, thankfully, because last time I know, I certainly was not a big fan of the first Horror Race. That was the episode that we talked to Jay Fisher. Go back and check that out if you missed it. This time, however, it is not a Garnet match, which is a crucial improvement, first of all, because this game, you know, there's not enough room for someone to make a big leap on anyone else in Garnets or in points in this case. Where, you know, in a Garnet match, the lad, like we saw, the people who are on the bottom at the start are almost always going to be on the bottom at the beginning. Other changes are no magnets in the pieces this time, since they are revealed to everyone on national TV how that all works. And the biggest jump that a piece can go is now 3 instead of 4, which I liked. I liked the way that they kind of slowed this game down. And another way they did that was with the puddles on the 6th and 11th spaces, where if a piece hits that, it just stops no matter how many more spaces it was supposed to move.
Yeah, and it's worth noting that those two twists can interact in a way where if you know a piece is going to be stopped at a puddle, it makes it that much easier to arrange another piece to end up piggybacking onto it.
Right. Well, I hadn't yet brought up piggybacking, but great segue there, Tom. As we get into piggybacking, where if a piece lands on top of another piece, it will move along with the bottom piece if that bottom piece moves first, which apparently is a lot like Yutenori. I was not, even after Googling or Wikipediaing the rules of Yutenori, I was still not clear on how they doubled down their pieces in that, or what it did, or what the advantage was. Yeah. And I guess the one kind of just like trick to the game that has, you know, remained is that the mummies are physically, you know, they have a slightly larger diameter, either one, I guess, is fine. They're related to each other than the other one, so you can pick out which ones are mummies and which ones are not.
Yeah, so that immediately presents you with this interesting question of, do you want to center your strategy around mummies because then it's easier for you to pick them out, or do you want to stay away from mummies because it's easier for other people to pick them out at the wrong time and then put them in squares where you don't want them to be?
Yeah, my answer to that question is, especially after seeing how it played out the first time, it depends on where I am in the order, I think. And I think they get to see the order before they actually pick their characters. But if I'm early in the order, I want to be on mummies, because as we see later on in these rounds, when you can pull out, you know, the first two people to go can pull out 6 mummies if they want and guarantee that if they want to plop them all down on the 3 space, there's nothing anyone can do about it. For the most, you know, depending on the character selection, you know, if there are all 10 Jiangshis or whatever still in there, then they can. But realistically, you know, after they know the breakdown, when there are only 3 people on mummies, it's a huge advantage. I feel like I would definitely be trying to get on mummies in the dark there, or whatever the one was that you could pull out every time reliably. Okay, so the turn order is, of course, going to be crucial in this game, as in virtually every game, and that turn order is Junsak, Kyunghoon, Jongbum, Doohee, Ayoung, Poong, Jinho, Sangmin, Hyunmin, and then Dongmin. So Hyunmin and Dongmin are going to be, and Sangmin are going to be acting last in the first 3 rounds, which is pretty crucial. So Dongmin gets the initial last place draw, and as we've seen from the first time, it's, you know, the later you are in the round, the more influence you're going to have over what pieces move where. My big takeaway from the turn order draw, though, was look in the middle here from 3 through 8. We have Jongbum, Doohee, Ayoung, Poong, then Jinho, and Sangmin, where the 5 guests are all within 6 spaces. You know, 5 out of 6 people are guests, where they're going to dictate, sorry, I sound like Jinho, the flow of the game for a huge percentage of the time, no matter where they are in the turn order. So that's even more reason to have the guests on your side.
Yeah, I enjoyed the irony of messing up the word dictate as well. That just makes it even more perfect. But yeah, I think that adds more fuel to the fire, if you like, where you need to be on the good side of the guests, because otherwise there's this massive run in the center where they will always be going first and then dictating the pace of play.
Right, and, you know, the guests can conceivably, this may be the downside, you know, in being on the mummy, where if this group of people that knows you're on the mummy does not want to see you succeed and they're up early, they can just pull all the mummies out and space them out and you can never win.
Yeah, or guarantee that they don't get mummies and then spread them out in a certain way and then move from there.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that is, of course, the risk associated being with the mummy. But I feel like just being able to pull it yourself and having other people, you know, in the ideal scenario where people are trying to help you win, having them reliably be able to pull it is just huge. Yeah, so the game begins. We're about to start round 1, and as usual, people get to act freely for a while. This is actually where Poong gives Kyunghoon that lecture.
Yeah, and refers to Kyunghoon's, quote, slightly sociopathic eyes with the great, glint CGI effect as well. So that was good. It's interesting, though, because Poong, I guess in season one, he was kind of going between two sides for some of the time, but I think he was mostly like this straight shooter who just aligned himself with someone who was in power at any given point. And so he is like the last person based on gameplay and personality that you would expect to endorse that kind of Agent of Chaos style gameplay.
Well, recall back to early season one where his two closest allies were Sangmin and Kimgura. I feel like he does have kind of an affection for the shadier types potentially. But yeah, it was interesting. Although I feel like there is maybe some idea behind, I would have expected this more out of Doohee and Jongbum, where they may be thinking, hey, I wasn't that big of a character on my own season, or in Doohee's case, I got humiliated on my own season in my eviction episode. I'm going to come in here and just cause absolute destruction.
Yeah, like, this might be the one last episode I'm here for on The Genius, so why not at least have some fun with it and do what I want?
And secondly, why not make this an audition for if this show continues? I know the ratings are fantastic. Yeah. Hey, bring me back for season 5.
Yeah, especially Jongbum, who I think would not be in contention for season 5 if things remain as they are. If he can really put on a good performance this episode, then maybe he starts to be in the mix again.
Yeah, and actually, now that I'm thinking about it, thinking about season 3 and who could potentially be in the mix as like a random returnee for season 5, the one person I was surprised was not a guest in this episode was Huijun. I would have expected to see him back here.
Maybe, yeah. And by the way, if we don't get to see Ah Young ever again, I will be mad and I will be writing an angry letter, probably in English, to somebody asking for her to be reinstated.
Can I make one? I want to put this on the record now. I've been meaning to say this for a while. I was a person who did watch Crime Scene, the other show that Jin-ho and Dongmin were on. If there is a season 5, I absolutely demand that one of the women from that show be on. You heard it here first. Park Ji-yoon, your winner of season 5 of The Genius. So Hyunmin here, as he is often wont to do in these kind of individual games, he wants to have private meetings and agree to swap information with every single person. And I think at this point, maybe it's just because people have seen Hyunmin play so much and seen so many of his episodes televised, where he could maybe get away with this more easily in season 3 when everyone thinks they're the only one trading with him. But now everyone kind of knows that this is just Hyunmin doing what he does.
Yeah, and we see Sangmin asking him who he still has a certain fondness for, and his answers are Kyunghoon and Jin-ho, and the obvious name there that is conspicuously absent is Dongmin.
And but more to your point, on rewatch, this is really glaring as potentially where Hyunmin took himself out of the running for being considered an ally here, where in not mentioning Dongmin, we later find out Sangmin was really just working with Dongmin closely the entire time, and I'm sure as soon as he heard him say two people that were not Dongmin, that was the end of the game for Hyunmin.
Maybe it's just me, but did you feel like Hyunmin was almost trying too hard with this, like breaking away from Dongmin strict? Because we saw this in some measure last episode as well, and then again here. It feels like he wants to be seen to break away from Dongmin just to assert his independence somehow, but when it comes down to it, he always runs back to him when his attempt fails.
Well, I think in this case it was things look to be going pretty well for Dongmin. And so Dongmin, hey, if he's going to be the one receiving the tokens of life, maybe he will go ahead and give me one.
Yeah, I guess more what I'm saying is, I don't know if Hyunmin sat down and thought, okay, this is the perfect time to break away from Dongmin, or if he thought, well, I want to break away from Dongmin, and so I'm going to act like this is the perfect time to do it, if that makes sense.
I think he was probably thinking something like, I'm going to really leave my options open. I'm not going to rule anything out. And if that means breaking away from Dongmin, then hey, so be it. And maybe there was an extra element of, it would really be nice to establish my own identity that doesn't involve just being Dongmin's son, basically. Yeah. So maybe you may absolutely be onto something that Hyunmin, you know, before his time on The Genius is over, if it looks like he's going to be in another endgame with Dongmin, he doesn't want it to just once again be the Dongmin show.
Right, and Dongmin, after one conversation with Hyunmin here, sees right through his act. He knows that Hyunmin is not on board, and so he needs to go off and, you know, arrange his own backup plan.
Right, and this is what I've always said about Dongmin earlier in the season, is this guy is really, really perceptive. Like, we've seen Hyunmin completely snow people historically, and Dongmin had no reservations about the fact that Hyunmin was obviously just looking to take advantage of him.
Yeah, and as I said earlier, he has had secret deals going on with, I think, like 3 of the 4 Final Five members over the past few episodes, and he's always been willing to break away from those when they don't seem to be going according to plan.
Yeah, and more to the point, everyone seems totally fine with it when the next week they show up and he says, oh yeah, by the way, last week I had a secret deal with Kyung-hoon or Jun-suk or whatever.
And this week it could be you, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It like really is like a sick selling point. Okay, so let's get into this main match. They all pick their characters, and Dongmin, in order to pick his, the highly scientific process of Ouija board with Dealer Nuna, and I think it was actually really fun to see her actually go with this. It's kind of out of character. I really don't feel like she would have done anything like this, certainly with any like first-time player. And even probably with someone like Jinho, I still think she would have felt like it was weird.
Well, I think she felt it is weird, but it's like when he's grabbing your hand and just moving it around, what are you meant to do?
Well, I feel like, you know, season one through season three, Dealer Nuna would have put an end to it really quickly and said, don't fucking touch me.
Maybe. I don't know. It's kind of hard to tell how she actually feels about Dongmin, because I can imagine her actually just completely hating it and just going along with it, you know, just to keep up appearances. But at the same time, I can also imagine her actually really liking it but not want to show that too much for fear of encouraging him.
Right, I think it's the latter. That's at least the impression that I get. It seemed like when she loses it, she really does sincerely think it's funny.
Yeah, and it's always nice to see that, like, those cracks in her facade. She seems more susceptible to it than the male dealers, although, to be fair, no one's actually trying the same thing with them. So maybe if Aryan was going up to them and yelling, Chiguya! Then maybe we would get the same stuff from them, but sadly, we'll never get to test that.
Yeah, I thought it was funny. I don't think they've ever really shown this before. They showed her, even not even in a secret scene, but on the televised episode, messing up, like having to ask the writers about what the ruling was for the piggybacking.
Yeah, I think my favorite moment recently was when, like, Kyung-hoon just threw the card at her and she instantly just slammed it down and caught it before it moved off and then just glared at him as if she was, like, destroying him with her eyes. It was,
yeah, definitely. So the character selections, I thought it was interesting to note. Thankfully, it's going to make for a much more interesting and entertaining game. The only people who are overlapping both characters are Jongbum and Doohee, who are working together, and it seems like they should have known better, probably. And also, Ahyung and Sangmin end up overlapping their characters, who are in the same boat, and who actually have people like working with them, where it seems like when you're essentially playing for any of the three of you to win, and you're going to get the same amount of money, the worst idea is to match your two characters, right?
Yeah, I think the more shocking part of that was that there was no overlap as a result between them and Dongmin or Jinho, because if you look at how the character selection went down, it was actually kind of strange, because the Gumiho, the yellow coin, was only selected by the guests. So you had Ahyung, Sangmin, Doohee, and Jongbum all picked it, but none of the genius players did. And conversely, you only had three zombies to begin with, but they were Pung, Dongmin, and Jun-suk. So of the guests, only Pung was a zombie. So what that means is there were certain characters which, you know, based on how the alliances went down, were really emphasized and some which were completely de-emphasized. So the distribution of characters is strange, and also the way that broke down within the alliances is kind of odd as well, because if you think back to episode 2, the thing that really doomed the Jinho alliance, even above the fact that they were completely dysfunctional, was Yeo-an and Kyung-hoon, who were the two people trying to avoid elimination by having the lowest garnet totals. They chose non-compatible characters, which meant the only way that one of them could live was to sell out the other, and there was no way that one of them was not going to be last. And so here, you would think that Jinho would be like thinking through all of the possibilities beforehand and trying to avoid something similar happening, but instead what happens is Dongmin is on Jiangshi and Zombie, so the blue coin and the green coin. Jinho has Mummy and Jiangshi, so he overlaps slightly with Dongmin, but then, as we said, Ahyung and Sangmin have Vampire and Gumiho, so there's basically no way that they can push one of the two of them and have either Jinho or Dongmin win. So what they have to do is push Pung, who again only overlaps by one with specifically Dongmin, so it has to be Dongmin and Pung who they push here. They don't have any freedom to choose based on the turn order or who looks to be doing well at any given time.
Yeah, it is interesting, and it makes me wonder. It seems like both times for character selection, the players have known the rules, and they've largely wound up with like the exact wrong idea. What's causing that? What's making the? What are we missing? What level are they getting on of that being a good idea of separating your own alliance's characters out entirely, where it seems like, on the surface at least, it'd be really tough to find mutually beneficial terms, and it seems like people wouldn't be thinking even that far into lines that contained that, because that seems so obvious up front.
Yeah, I think there's a good impulse there to kind of diversify your portfolio, if you like, so you're not all in on one character. Not just because if you do all go in on one character, then there are fewer coins for that one character in the box, but also because if that one character doesn't end up doing well, you don't want your whole team to be sunk because of that. I think the issue, though, is they don't think through the actual permutations and realize, look, if it's done this way, then it's going to be very hard for us to actually get the outcome we want. And also, character selection is the first thing that happens in the game. You need your alliance to be in place before that, or otherwise, you know, you might end up wanting to work with Ah Young later, but if her characters don't match up well with yours, then that's just not a possibility. So the key to the game, we've said, is working with the guests, but it's also getting your team together with the guests immediately up front before anything else can happen, I think.
Oh, definitely. I mean, we've seen time after time that establishing something early, all the way back to Season 1, Episode 1, where Jimmy Cha just pulls that big group together, and then again in the election game, where Gura, an hour before the game starts, it's already over. Certainly, the early bird tends to get the worm on the genius. But I would say, yeah, just kind of quickly back to character selection ideas in general, I would think of it like the ideal way to pick your characters for a team of three or more is like, think of like the Olympic rings, where they connect one with each other, where you want to go one green-red, then one red-blue, and then one red-green if you're a three-person alliance or whatever. So they overlap within your group.
Yeah, that's an interesting way to think about it. I was discussing this off-air recently with a friend of the show, AJ Van Gilder, and his theory was what you want to do is you have two genius members and then you have three guests in your team. What you want is one guest and one genius player to have the same characters, so they overlap completely, and those are the two that you're going to try and push. And then you have the other genius player and the other and another guest overlap with one of the two of those, but not in such a way that you get screwed if anything goes wrong. So you have a very clear idea of what you want to do, but then you also have a backup plan in case that falls through for some reason.
Right. I think one probably good idea is to be covered on, you know, if you have a five-person group, you can then do that Olympic ring style thing and hook back around on four of the characters and just disregard one of them and just assume that there are not going to be enough people on it that you're going to get overruled.
Yeah, so the idea would be, let's say I'm a player and you're a guest, not that I'd ever invite you, but I would be I would be one and two, you would be one and two, and then another genius player would be one and three, another guest would be two and three, and then the other guest would be like two and four or one and four or something like that.
Right, numbers are a good way of actually putting it. Yeah, I think people get the idea. But yeah, I think that is generally right, is some overlap but not complete, you know, and some diversity but not complete diversity. Yeah. All right, so let's, I think, if we can get through the actual happenings pretty quickly. Round one, Kyung-hoon is the second person to act. He surrenders his coins, and actually Jun-suk is the only person in any round who goes first and does not choose to surrender his coins.
Yeah, because when we saw this game the first time, we said we were surprised that more people weren't surrendering their coins. This time around, it looks like they have adjusted to that, and they're doing it at almost every opportunity.
Right, the first time around, it was just weird because I feel like someone did it about halfway through, or maybe it was even earlier on, and then another round went by where no one did it, even after seeing how powerful it was.
Yeah, and you would think towards the end, like, if it seems like the outcome is already in place or you're not going to be needed, why not just forfeit your coins, go to the end for the next round where maybe you can play a bigger part in what happens?
Right, I think that's the thing, is the people, if they're near the end and they realize what they're going to place doesn't really matter. Like, we saw Jongbum here after, you know, he surrendered his coins in round two, I guess. So in round three, he went last, and no matter where he put his things, it wouldn't have changed anything. Surely he would just re-surrender right there, except it is a good rule that only one person can surrender each round. But yeah, I mean, I guess it does kind of bear repeating just quickly for people who didn't listen to our first podcast. Of course, going last is huge in this game, and that's why it's so good to surrender your coins and ensure that you go last in the future round, because as we see play out, you know, Ah Young going last in one of these rounds ends up moving one of the characters five spaces and securing victory for both parts of her side. Yeah. So round one, I guess what else happens in round one? Nobody moves on the one space. The red piece moves two. The blue piece moves three. And because Kyunghoon, I think it's interesting, they're not being open about what they all picked. And so, or at least not with everyone. So Kyunghoon sacrificing his coins means three coins went without being seen, which means people still don't know the total number of people on each character, let alone who has which character and how many coins are out there.
Yeah, and we see this this questioning period, if you like, by Jensok later when he's trying to find out who the third zombie is, because it's not really apparent to anybody. Turns out that it's Jinho, but he does a good job of hiding it and not really avoiding and not really attracting suspicion, which I think actually, because Jinho, you don't think of him as someone who is obviously going to lie to you or try and like lead you in the wrong direction. And so that's a very helpful image for him, because he tells Jensok that he isn't the zombie, and Jensok just obviously takes it at face value.
Yeah, I mean, it's huge. I think Jinho has almost found the role perfect for him on accident this season. Like, we would talk about Jinho during our Season 1 and Season 2 podcasts about how he always had to be his team's leader of strategy, and he would find himself in a ton of death matches as a result. We're at the Final Four now. He has not seen a death match yet.
Yeah, and we saw that conversation between him and Dongmin at the start where he says, oh, I'm not going to be the symbol of justice anymore. I'm going to be more cutthroat and out for myself. And then in this game, he just goes right back to his old role, if you like, because it seems to be working for him.
What I mean is, I think that's exactly right, where getting kind of on Dongmin and friends, where he's not the leader of the team, at least as the other side is going to view it, it's always going to be Dongmin. And in practice, I'm sure he's really not the leader of the team. It is Dongmin. And he can kind of sit back in that secondary role, not be a target for death matches, and still not wind up in last, and people trust him. And now kind of playing that long game almost, and I don't think it was on purpose, or at least not for this reason, but I think it is paying huge dividends now, where people do trust him.
Yeah, although I think we are reaching the exact point in the season where that all kind of breaks down, and it is every man out for themselves. So going into next week, the guests are going to complicate that a bit more. But then again in the final three, it's not going to be, oh, well, I trust Jinho, so I'm working with him, because you just don't have that choice anymore. It's, you know, you have to work with what's in front of you.
And actually, just quickly back to something we were talking about earlier, with the idea of a possible winner edit in mind, this whole segment about who is the third mummy and, oh, it's Jinho and he's totally getting one over here on Jensok and company, it didn't really amount to anything, actually, within the game. But if we want to look at what might be in there to try to pump up a possible winner to make him look like a genius, maybe that's it. Is that thin?
That is a stretch. I think... It was
is
kind
that
of,
thin, though?
It is. I think it was kind of understated. Because everything with Jinho is, basically, that's just his personality. But, yeah, I don't think that was really something to read into. It's just a fun little scene. I mean, you get so many of those with, like, Dongmin or Hyunmin or whoever else every single episode, and Kyunghoon especially, so I don't think you can read anything into it.
Is there a good, I'm trying to think, would Jinho be entertaining on American reality TV? He'd probably hate every minute of being on it. Is there a good parallel for a Jinho type?
Well, the thing is, if there is, it's not someone who would immediately spring to mind, because that's the type of person that Jinho is. So I mean, taking a second to think about it, I guess...
You know who's... I cannot shake this, and this is going to sound so weird that I almost shouldn't even say it, because they're so incomparable. JT Thomas, it just seems like, comes across as so genuine to everyone, and everyone's so trusting of him, and he's just kind of out there doing his own thing, and he doesn't even necessarily always know what's going on, but he does a pretty good job just because of his natural talents.
JT is more of a schemer, though, I think.
Okay, like, I think he tries to be, yeah.
Like, he didn't have to be in Token Genes, but we saw in Heroes vs. Villains, when he can be, you know, he just lets it all out. So, I don't know, maybe like a Tyler Fredrickson or something?
I feel like Tyler's even more I feel like Tyler's out there trying to be scheming.
I guess.
All right, well, hey, send us your own suggestions. By the way, you can follow us on Twitter, at DomHRV, at Colin Stone, and incidentally, email us your genius takes and follow Genius Takes on Twitter as well, at Genius Takes. But you can email us your genius questions and stuff that we may eventually get to. It's certainly email stuff for season 3 to domandcolin@gmail.com. I just want to put that stuff out there because I never remember to bring any of that up.
Well, also, I don't know if it's because I haven't checked the email account in a month or so, or we actually haven't received anything, but it feels like a long time since we've brought anything like that up on the air.
It does feel like quite a long time, but we have some stuff for season three. We'll see what we get. I'll tell you why. It's because I never remember to plug it.
Yeah, so email us, you ingrates.
Yeah, thank you. Except, all right, well, I'm not going to put any exceptions on it because no one's going to email us anyway. All right, let's get into round two. Jeongbum surrenders first overall, and this is where Ah Young ends up slipping and almost falling, but it's just classic Ah Young stuff, classic Ah Young sound effects, really good stuff there. So Kyung-hoon here is the last one to act because he surrendered in round one. Before he does so, Sangmin pulls him into one of the rooms wanting help in getting the mummy piggybacked onto the vampire. And Kyung-hoon ends up basically betraying Hyunmin here on the three, and essentially betrays himself if you think about it, because Hyunmin's plan was genuinely to propel Kyung-hoon to first place because he wanted to, you know, he wanted the vampire and the mummy to get pushed forward, which is what Kyung-hoon was on. But instead, Kyung-hoon ends up doing what Sangmin wants, and we find out later that Sangmin wanted the whole time to completely fuck Kyung-hoon, which is just phenomenal on rewatch. But yeah, I mean, I say phenomenal on rewatch, but one of the only high points on rewatch. This episode is substantially worse than the average Genius episode on rewatch, just random observation I made.
Let me ask you about that, because we thought coming into season four, it was going to be just wall-to-wall excitement every single week. And some weeks it has been. You know, there are some of the best episodes in the franchise brought to us throughout season four. But a lot of the filler episodes, if you like, have not been overly impressive, especially given the quality of the cast. So is it meeting your expectations so far? Or is it not really meeting them?
I would say season four in general has exceeded... Man, my expectations were ludicrously high. I have to give some kind of credence to that, but I would say, yeah, this has almost probably exceeded my expectations, like, probably because it came so strong out of the gate. Like, certainly the premiere episode vastly exceeded my expectations, and there have been, I would say Fish Shop was a phenomenal episode, like historically good episode. There have been a few. I really loved the Garnet Thief reveal. I thought that was great. I would say the highs have been so high, and like even high by Genius standards, that yeah, I would say this season absolutely has exceeded my expectations, especially the more I think about it and the more, you know, entering this final five, I was so jacked up for this episode, and I have been for every episode except for the one that I thought I was spoiled on, which I was. But even looking ahead now, this final four, like we've been saying, there is no winner here that won't satisfy certainly me. I'm sure someone might not satisfy someone out there, but I think most people are on board with that. So yes, I would say this absolutely, as a season in general, has exceeded my expectations. What about for you?
Like, maybe it is just the recency bias of this episode not being so good that leads me to lower my estimation of it on the whole, but like going into next week, if next episode is fantastic, which it almost certainly should be, then I'll be right back on board again. So maybe I'm just fickle. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like this episode is a lot better kind of on paper than it is in practice. Because first of all, I think this game just moves so quickly and there's so much going on that it's really tough to fully comprehend, even on a rewatch, all that's happening as far as like the actual minutiae of the game.
Yeah, like you would think when you have all of the players gathered around in the same area together, then you have a lot more fun interactions, a lot more stuff going on, but it never really seems to work out that way.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it does. If we could get like live feeds, I'm sure they'd be incredible if we spoke Korean. But I just feel like even with these longer episodes, with games this complex, there's just never going to be enough time. And the games, like if they were to go into that much detail, it would detract from the episode probably. Yeah. So I don't know. I feel like this season, though, overall, I would certainly still be saying is on pace to be the best season of reality TV ever.
Yeah, and I think that's almost regardless of the final outcome at this stage.
I feel the same way. All right. I guess more on that. We'll certainly be putting we'll certainly be talking a lot about putting this season into historic terms in these, you know, as we near the finale and so on. So round three, Doohee is first. He surrenders his coins, of course. And this is actually where I guess we get the Jin-ho mummy thing, but whatever. And Jeongbum, this is the turn where he ends up getting shafted on the last thing, you know, where he's the last one to go, and there's nothing he can do about moving any of the pieces. So at the end of this, the blue and green pieces are in the out front, which means Dongmin is in the lead among the Genius players, just like they're drawing it up, I guess.
Yeah, and even in the episodes where Dongmin's influence seems to be lapsing, somehow when we get to the 40-minute mark and it's the end of the main match, he always seems to be like either the winner or very near the top of the standing somehow.
It's unbelievable. It's almost like it's like borderline pathetic that it seems like at the end of every main match, even when plenty of people here are working against Dongman, he's still there in first place, even when he doesn't even seem like he's trying to get first place for himself the whole time.
Yeah, like in the seed poker match when, you know, right. the preview in the episode before was like, oh, this is a time when Jinho and Kyungran finally turn on Dongmin. And I was expecting proper fireworks. And then we get to the main match. Jinho is like throwing a tantrum and then goes back with Dongmin anyway. And then Dongmin just very easily wins the match after Jungmoon again, despite being betrayed by him on several occasions, just goes right back to him and does what he wants. It boggles the mind, honestly.
Yeah. No, it's crazy. But I mean, I feel like that's a talent. I feel like that's a thing that gives people equity in the genius. So Dongmin hasn't and other people don't, as much as, I don't know, perhaps survivors may not be into that idea.
Yeah, I know we discussed a few weeks ago what the odds were of a repeat finals. And since then, Kyungran is gone. So Jinho versus Kyungran is no longer on the table. But what do you think the odds are with this final four that we have Dongmin versus Human in the finals again? And what do you think the chances are that Dongmin wins again, if that's the case?
I would say that's probably like 50% at least for me at this point. And I would say Dongmin in that scenario, I just like, I'm going to put it out there right now, but I'm just going to skip ahead. I'm really feeling like Dongmin's got like 75% equity now.
Wow. Okay.
I feel like it's, and honestly, I feel like number two might be Kyunghoon.
Those are some hot takes right there. I'll have to think about that in the meantime.
It's just, I mean, maybe it's just the way, I've never seen an episode where Dongmin loses, essentially. So maybe when he does lose, it'll look exactly the same and I'll never see it coming. I would not put that past the genius editing team at all. It just feels like everything is constantly coming up Dongmin.
Yeah, there are always these times where I feel like Dongmin has been set up for this fall and then it just never comes. Like he always gets it together in that main match and then going into the next week it's just a blank slate and everything's fine again. So I don't know if when his downfall does eventually come, if it does, it's going to be some big dramatic surprise out of left field, or if it's going to be something that we can anticipate, you know, a few steps in advance.
I'm going to say this. And maybe this is how people felt after the Sangmin episode, and I just didn't feel this way. If we do come in here next week or the week after and Dongmin is the casualty before the finals, I almost really want them to make it hurt. I really want them to completely get my hopes up and then just shatter me.
Yeah, I don't know if you can really do that with Dongmin, because with Sangmin, you root for him, but I don't know. Dongmin, he doesn't feel like an underdog at any stage. He's always the guy who thinks he's in charge, wants to be in charge, and often is in charge. And so it's not like you're kind of sitting on your sofa hoping that he does well and you're wondering what's in store for him, because you always have faith that he's going to get through it somehow. But with Sangmin, you know that it's going to be a rollercoaster ride. You know, Sangmin's going to do his own thing and maybe it's going to completely blow up in his face, but hopefully it won't. But Dongmin is more like on the level, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I just mean, we do have that. I'm certainly a person who, at this point, listen, I just said he has 75% win equity. I'm going to go ahead and already retract that number. That just seems unrealistic.
It's a classic Colin Stone hyperbole right there.
Yeah, but at least this one I recognized within, you know, a couple of minutes, instead of like going all in on her for what's going to be her second season now, not to name names.
So you must not be named. Voldemort herself.
Yeah. But I think what I'm saying is, yes, I have total faith that Dongmin's going to get through everything in life unscathed. So use that assumption against me, editors.
Yeah, so to phrase my point in what hopefully is a better way, like with Dongmin, if he does go out in hilarious fashion, it's going to be, oh, well, that was stunning and that was a great episode. But I won't feel for him the way that I felt for Sangmin, if that. Because with Sangmin, like, I was really hoping that he would do well. With Dongmin, I mean, I enjoy his character at times, but it's like if he gets got, then he gets got, and he probably had it coming, you know?
Right. I feel like Dongmin, if he loses a death match, would be like coyly smiling, and then he would go and try to hug the dealer, and then he would bow as he leaves the door.
Yeah, like if Dongmin goes out that way, he will get what's been coming to him for a long time.
Yeah, and I feel like the other part of that, kind of along those same lines, is I felt like when Sangmin left, you could really tell that it meant a lot to him, and I think Dongmin would play it cool.
Yeah, Sangmin was clearly tearing up inside, and you could tell it meant a lot to some of the other genius players as well, like not just Kyungran, but there was this kind of palpable like deflation in the room when Sangmin lost, I think.
Well, I think everyone, kind of like they applauded him when he came in this week. Everyone recognizes what a present Sangmin is and how big he's been for the franchise.
Yeah, I didn't know if they would do that for Dongmin. I mean, maybe they would, but it's...
I think they would next season, but they wouldn't do it this season.
I wonder if we'll get to find out. Hopefully we will, but we'll see.
Oh, I'm sure. Whoever wins this season, if there is a season 5, there will be a returnee match with Jinho, Sangmin, Dongmin, and potentially someone else.
Oh, what I meant was, I hope we get to see that this season, like to test our theory of how they treat him when he loses. But more on that in future weeks, I suppose.
Yeah, well, but let me put this bold call out there: Jinho and Sangmin, at least, will be on every season of The Genius that runs.
In just like a guest capacity? Or?
Yeah, right.
They have to be.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move it along here. Round 4, Ayoung is... This is the round where Ayoung ends up getting to do everything she ever wanted. She moves the blue piece up 5 spaces. That's essentially going to be the end of the game. Doohee had an opportunity here to prevent that, although he totally blew it on the draw. And that was like literally all we saw of Doohee for the entire episode.
And it's a very Doohee way to go out, right? Like just popping into relevance for one moment and then fucking it up and just going back into irrelevance again.
I swear, I don't know if I was paying direct attention to them, but I want to say when they revealed, when Poong said that he wanted to split the prize with Sangmin and Ayoung, I swear, in like the background, Doohee and Jongbum just like look at each other like, what?
As if, like, you wonder what they thought was happening the whole time.
Yeah, that is a good thing. Like, I always wonder what the losing side thinks is happening. Like, I was driving around this morning and I was thinking to myself about Yeowon. I was like,
as you
what
do,
were Yeowon?
Yeah, every day.
Yeah, sure. I was thinking, what was Yeowon thinking was going to happen every, like, when his game plan every single round was branch off and do my own thing and not really care about what other people are doing for the most part and do a bad job when I'm pretending to care. What is he thinking is going to happen?
Yeah, or like in this game, the other guests, you have to know that Sangmin is up to no good, right? But, you know, they seem to just act as if their plan was going to go completely seamlessly and nothing could ever go wrong.
That's actually a really good point. I feel like that's something that probably we haven't talked about enough yet, which is if I was actually a guest in there and I saw Sangmin, I would hope I would recognize pretty quickly he probably is counting on this being his last performance in a Genius main match. If I best be on Sangmin's good side or else this could go drastically awry. Yeah, so I could see that being a big factor. All right, so the blue piece is essentially about to win here. All right, round 5, and I'm now realizing that I gave the round 5 results when talking about round 4, but this is, in fact, where Ayoung ends up moving the thing 5 spaces. Nothing really happened in round 4, although that was where Doohee could have had a draw to prevent whatever they wanted to happen. Sorry about that, folks. But round 5, okay, this is now where the blue pieces are going to solidify it. And this is actually, I think, an interesting example. You know, we talked about the mummies earlier. Where this is the spot where the first 2 people, I don't remember who they were, but they intentionally drew 6 mummies and just loaded them up on the 1 because they could reliably do that every time, where if the first 2 people have an incentive to make the mummy move, they can always just draw them. So that is that concept in practice right here. And so Ayoung plops those pieces down. Dongmin and Poon do some hysterical overreacting that was made me feel really foolish on the flashback when I realized that they were completely in on it the whole time. So this is, I guess, where we get that flashback, and we find out that Sangmin is still holding a big grudge against K-Hound here. And I think this flashback and really this whole episode hinged on one technique that they use in these flashbacks a lot. For these flashbacks, they'll show you the first part of it during the initial presentation of the main match, and then in the flashback, they'll show you, like, the last 2 or 3 seconds that shows the whole story. Is like in Garnet Thief, when Jungmoon inadvertently gave wrong information to Hyunmin and that side, and he says, oh, you know, as we're first watching the main match, he says, oh, Jungmoon gave us bad information. And then in the flashback later, we see the end of that where Jinho just responds, yeah, well, we still have Kyunghoon, after we find out about Kyunghoon. I really, really love that kind of editing device.
Speaking of Kyung-hoon, one thing that I think you touched on earlier, but we didn't go into in much detail, was Kyung-hoon early on has this chance to take the lead because his characters are the vampire and the mummy, and there's this chance for him to move both the vampire and the mummy forward because they're piggybacked on top of each other, I think, but he just doesn't take it because his whole approach is, well, I'm working with Hyunmin and Junsuk, and if I win, I have to give the Token of Life to one of them, and the other one is going to feel mad at me because I betrayed them. So instead, I will make sure that one of them can win, and then I'll get the Token of Life, and everything will be fine. As it happens, neither of them win, and neither does he anymore, because he just passed up on that opportunity. He gets last instead and has to go to the deathmatch. So it's the second week in a row where Kyung-hoon has his perfect chance to secure the win for himself and just doesn't take it. Like, we could be looking at Kyung-hoon having won both of the last two main matches going into the final four now.
Yeah. This is, I would say, like, unlike being HOH and Big Brother, where you're getting long-term blood on your hands, I feel like in The Genius, where it's this fluid and people are this competitive and, you know, kind of like rational, mature adults, much more so than American contestants, where they can forgive and potentially forget. When in that kind of scenario, you know, turning down this kind of win because you're afraid of offending someone by not giving them the Token of Life, that's what we would call a good problem to have, I would say.
Yeah, like, maybe there will be some backlash, but I think the bigger issue is you go to the deathmatch and lose it because you just sent yourself there for no reason.
Right.
Like that. Right. You can't, there's no playing back from that spot, whereas if there's some backlash, sure, okay, maybe they're mad at you, but that needs to actually translate into something relevant for you.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. So round six, again, is basically meaningless because of that blue piece, basically pole vaulting. Dongmin and Poong are your winners here. Dongmin, I thought this was one of the weaker kind of like potential buildups where, it, you know, is he going to give the Token of Life to Hyunmin or Jinho? I remember watching this thinking it seemed so obvious he was going to give it to Jinho that I was half expecting him to give it to Hyunmin, just like that being the complete twist.
Well, I also thought he was clearly giving it to Jinho, but I think that was meant to show just how like out of the loop Hyunmin was. Like, it wasn't meant to create suspense of who he would give it to. It was more, we know who he's giving it to, but Hyunmin clearly doesn't. So let's watch his reaction when it happens.
Okay. Yeah, well, one thing that happened just before he gave the Token of Life out that I kind of skipped over was Hyunmin goes and asks Dongmin when it's clear he's about to win, basically. He's like, so I'm getting, you know, we're giving the Token of Life to each other, right? And Dongmin says, yeah. But he, you know, obviously understands that Hyunmin didn't really come to him until it was clear that things were going well. I feel like there is really, like, you know, if that theory that you had is right about it's just that scene is in there to show how out of the loop Hyunmin is, I really do have a hard time believing that would be in there if he went on to win the season. And while I'm not generally a big proponent of like winner edits in The Genius, maybe I should be.
And I also wonder for Dongmin there, because I think at that stage, there's nothing Hyunmin could do to reverse a result. Maybe Dongmin should just be upfront with him and saying, no, I'm giving it to Jinho, just to like not raise his expectations and then dash him again.
Well, maybe it was actually then with that in mind, because I think you're right, and I think he would know that probably. He really isn't the type to pull punches once it's clear what's going to happen. Maybe it was, you know, Hyunmin, the clip of him asking was from way earlier on, and it was just put in there to build suspense.
Yeah, and that clip of Hyunmin asking, oh, when you give it to me, don't say we've been working together the whole time or anything, I think that just makes him look even worse.
Right, yeah. I totally agree. You know, he pleads with him, basically saying, hey, Kyung-hoon thinks we were close this whole time, so when you give me this Token of Life, don't even make it clear that we were allied, because I want to leave the door open. Essentially, what he's saying is, I want to leave the door open so I can ally with Kyung-hoon next time.
Yeah, so I can break away from you again and hope that it works this time.
Yeah, right, which I think, you know, is just, honestly, seems like total amateur hour from Hyunmin, because it seems like he's a smart enough person to recognize how that's going to come across.
Yeah, I think Hyunmin is clearly talented in his own way, but I think when he gets desperate, it really shows, and he doesn't do a good job of like disguising that or his motivations in that instance.
Okay, so Kyung-hoon is your loser. He has only Junsuk and Hyunmin here to choose between. He ultimately ends up choosing Junsock, and I felt really validated by this selection, Dom. I've been saying for a long time that under no circumstances will Hyunmin be voluntarily selected as a deathmatch opponent. I feel like this is a pretty solid piece of evidence in favor of that, where it looks to me, and Kyung-hoon almost seemed to even recognize that Junsock was by far his best potential for like a long-term ally, I feel like, at this point. Someone who might actually prioritize his own well-being above someone else's. And he ends up playing against him because he doesn't want to play against Hyunmin.
I think he also realizes, though, that at this stage, you know, we're going into the Final Four. What does a long-term alliance really mean for you? Like, you can say, oh, well, Junsock wants to take me to the Final Two. But I think given the option, even if he didn't have that agreement with you, he would want to take you to the Final Two anyway. If the other options are like Dongmin, yeah. Hyungmin, Jinho, like, what is the alternative? Like, I don't really think there is one.
Yeah, well, and also he said, I wouldn't be embarrassed to lose to him. I'm also guessing he would not be embarrassed to lose to Hyungmin, unless age really is that big of a deal, which I'm guessing it's not. So to me, this just further indicates, like, he understood the reality that if you pick Hyunmin and 12 Jangi pops out or whatever, that's the end of your game. And I don't want to open the door for that, basically.
I think he is justifying to himself something that he's already decided.
Right.
Like, he knows that he's going to do it, and he's coming up with a way to make it sound, you know, correct.
Right. And I feel like, hey, for Hyunmin, you know, I guess it just goes back to how kind of almost abrasive he's being, where I feel like he's in a position where when people seem to be recognizing how talented and how much of a deathmatch threat he is, his only real way that he's not going to be the overwhelming favorite to win any season at basically any point is because he's not going to be getting any of those items. Not any of them, but you know what I mean? Where, like, he's a favorite to not be the favorite in items.
Yeah, so let's talk about that, because I think Lauren and I discussed it for a bit last week, but how do you feel each of the players left stack up in terms of who might favor them in the finals?
Okay. I was also thinking about this while I was driving the other day. I feel like the way I was thinking about it is who might be giving Hyunmin an item for sure over someone else. And the only thing I can really think of is I feel like Yeowon would give him the item over Jinho. I feel like Yuyeon would probably give him the item over anyone, except possibly Kyung-hoon. I feel like the kind of more tertiary characters would be the ones more inclined to give him the items in general.
Why would Yuyeon give it to Hyunmin, do you think?
I feel like Yuyeon, I think he could be kind of the anti-authority, anti-Dongmin / Jinho pick.
Yeah, that would make sense. Although I think, I guess it would depend who he was up against, but I think he would actively want to give it to Jinho, if that was an option.
Okay.
And then probably not to Kyung-hoon, I would wager. But beyond that, I mean, who knows?
The only other thing that I could come up with when I was trying to think of lock items for Hyunmin was, before seeing this episode, Sangmin, if Hyunmin was against Kyung-hoon, Sangmin would probably still be mad at Kyung-hoon. But I'm wondering if now Sangmin feels like Kyung-hoon has paid his debt to society, essentially, and survived it, and now he's become a man and he earns his item.
Yeah, my theory with Kyung-hoon is if he makes it there, you almost have to reward him. Like, there's no way that you can't acknowledge that in some way, right?
I think he definitely beats Hyunmin in items. I don't even know if he beats Jinho or Dongmin, though, in items.
Like, we have no way of really knowing who Yeowon would vote for, let's say, or, you know, Jungmoon. Like, it's so hard to really get a handle on that.
Well, I think Yeowon is voting for not Jinho, I think.
Really?
Especially after Jinho gave his item to Sangmin in season 2, yeah.
Yeah, actually, that would make sense.
And then also, I would say Dongmin is probably going to be the front runner, because Dongmin and Jinho are probably the front runners against Kyung-hoon and Hyunmin in items, because I feel like there is something to the idea of, in Korea, not wanting to be seen giving your item to the recluse Kyung-hoon.
Yeah, so going down the list, I think
I used recluse not even close to correctly.
Reckless, you mean?
Reckless, yeah.
There we go. So going down the list, I think Junghyun would favor, I think it goes Dongmin in first, Kyung-hoon in last, and then probably Jinho, then Hyunmin? Because they seem to get on perfectly fine in season 2, like him and Jinho.
Yeah, I feel like Junghyun probably goes for Dongmin. I think he recognizes Dongmin was the... Okay, I think the politician in him probably is inspired to vote for Dongmin.
Yeah, and I think Dongmin is also the oldest of the group, which I think would work well with Junghyun as well.
Yeah.
Yeowan, you said he's going to be anti-Jinho, which makes sense to me. I think he still sees something of himself in Hyunmin and would probably favor him over Dongmin. I think if Dongmin has a weakness, it's going to be with some of those early boots. Like,
I don't think, yeah, and I think Yeowan, after the ID exchange, is probably, who knows how he feels about Kyunghoon, but I could see Kyunghoon being lower than Dongmin and Hyunmin there.
Yeah, so it almost feels like there's no one he would actually want to give it to other than maybe Hyunmin.
Yeah, I would definitely say Yeowan would be someone who would abstain if that was an option.
So then Sangmin, I could honestly see him giving it to anybody. Like, if it's Hyunmin versus Dongmin in the finals, who does Sangmin even give it to? Like, it's I think he is the most interesting person, and also he's someone who could convince other people to sway a certain way.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if there really is much like jury pandering. As far, I think people kind of say, hey, give your item to whoever you want to give it to. But Sangmin, I could definitely see realistically going anyway, although I guess, gun to my head, I would say the least likely one would be Hyunmin.
Okay, that's interesting.
Just especially, I'm guessing Hyunmin probably left kind of a bad taste in Sangmin's mouth after this week, too, where he was just kind of bullshitting him the whole time.
Yeah, that's a good point. So next up we have...
Yoonsun.
Lawyer Yoonsun, yeah. So she also...
She's someone I could see going Hyunmin. This is the kind of person I'm saying, the kind of, like, F-society person.
Yeah, I don't think Dongmin really sits too well with her.
Right, exactly. So I could see her, but I mean, I could see her going Jinho. Or maybe she finds Kyunghoon endearing, who knows?
Yeah, like, fuck it, I'm supporting Kyunghoon. Just, you know, burn it to the ground. But it seems like, again, she and Jinho sometimes work together in season 2, although it wasn't always, like, a happy relationship. So it's tough to say. And then we have Yuhyun next, who I think Jinho is at the top of his list. And Dongmin, I would imagine, is towards the bottom, although he did vote for him once in season 3, so who knows.
Yeah, Yuyan, I think you are right that Jinho's probably at the top of the list. I could really see him going any direction if Jinho's not in the finals, though. Dr. Yoonsung, or do you have anything else on Yuyan?
Well, Yuyan hated Kyunghoon for the first few weeks, ended up working with him to great effect for 1 week, and then was back to hating him again in the following week. So I don't really know where they stand. But
okay, I guess, yeah, you are right, because I was thinking of Fish Shop. I was like, oh, they got over it. But you're right, by the following week.
Yeah, so Dr. Yoonsun, he's really tough to peg for me. Like, maybe, I think he would be another Jinho booster and anti-Kyunghoon.
Yeah, I can see him.
Like, the more I think about it, the more Jinho seems to be in a decent spot here.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I meant earlier, where Jinho, as he's playing this kind of second banana role, he's not going to death matches, and he's not getting on people's nerves, and he's not eliminating anyone. People still seem to like him and view him as, like, loyal and trustworthy.
And maybe there is a thing going on where, oh, he's a former winner, so I don't want to give him an extra advantage, but it's so tough to predict, honestly.
Yeah. So Jungmoon,
yeah, probably Jinho again, right?
The more I talk about this, the more it feels like Jinho actually really needs to skyrocket, given just how likely an item's advantage is when he makes the finals.
Jungmoon basically gifted him the win the first time around, so
Right. Maybe
she could do it again. And then we saw her kind of get along well with Hyunmin, although that seemed somewhat one-sided. And then she kept going back to Dongmin, even though it never really made any sense, so she could end up there. I don't think she goes for Kyunghoon, though.
Right, I think Jungmoon, I would say it's a not Kyunghoon vote.
Yeah, then for Kyungran, I think Jinho first and then Dongmin. Those two in some order, I would say, and then Kyunghoon at the bottom.
I feel like she has serious Stockholm syndrome with Dongmin.
In what sense?
I guess it's not Stockholm, so it's not like he kidnapped her. He always wanted to work with her. Usually wanted to work with her. But I feel like at the end of the day, she's going to convince herself that she should be giving it to Dongmin.
Yeah, I can see that.
I don't know.
And now we get to Junsok, who...
he's not going Jinho. There's no way he's giving Jinho another win.
I would love it if he did somehow go full circle and give it to Jinho, but he helped out Kieran the first time, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, that might be off the table, I guess. But he was always like anti-Dongmin as well, so I think
Kyung-hoon gets it for sure.
Oh, for sure. If he's, and that might be the one like lock vote for Kyung-hoon.
Yeah. So, and I could see him going Hyunmin if he was up against Dongmin or Jinho. I think he probably goes, anti-establishment.
And now, with the four that are left, obviously two of them aren't going to make the finals, and it's really hard to predict how they, whoever they are, might lean to, because you're going to have like this really big clash of the Titans in the finals, and based on the way that they go out in fourth and third, there could be some legitimate hurt feelings there.
I may be crazy about this. I feel like Jinho might be Hyunmin's most likely vote, and I don't think he even votes for Hyunmin over Dongmin. I guess Hyunmin has some lock anti-Kyung-hoon votes, if those are in play.
I was going to say, I don't think any of the other three vote for Kyung-hoon over each other, but now that I think about it, like, does Hyunmin vote for Dongmin again, even, if he makes the finals? Like, maybe, but maybe not.
I think he votes for Jinho ahead of Dongmin.
Does he vote for Kyung-hoon ahead of Dongmin?
That's a question. I could see it being a possibility that already Hyunmin knows he will not be giving an item to Dongmin.
What about Dongmin and Hyunmin? Like, if Dongmin leaves in third or something, does he want to see Hyunmin win?
Probably against Kyung-hoon and probably not against Jinho. That would be my take.
See, again, like, Jinho is just climbing to the top of all of the lists.
It really depends on, if we think about who's going to be giving the late items, it's going to be two of these people and then Junsak. So I think the last three items are not going to be the people who are necessarily interested in making sure it's a fair fight. I think they could definitely be people who are interested in making sure their arch nemesis doesn't win.
Yeah, for sure. And we said at the start that we thought this season you can almost discount some of the people right out of the gates, because even if they do manage to make a deep run, they're going to have a very tough time in those later main matches and then in the finals. But if it does come down to who gets the most items, then maybe we have to start rethinking that. Like we said, we saw Dongmin beat Hyunmin despite what seemed to be a fairly lopsided matchup the other way in season 3, just because he led 8-3. And so this time, even if Jinho is worse in death matches than maybe any of the other three, he could still be the favorite just based on that alone.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that could be one of the big takeaways from season 4 of The Genius. Like we were talking about with Hyunmin in a more negative sense earlier. I think, the items are something that play a huge role, or at least can if it's a blowout. And so avoiding or trying to get yourself a blowout is actually a pretty important piece potentially in winning The Genius. So we kind of skipped over the death match itself. We're playing Quattro. We'd been dreading this the whole time. Thank God that the guests, first of all, are not playing, because I know that was something, as soon as I saw it get drawn, I was fearing that, oh, conveniently we have five extra people here to be the panelists.
Yeah, and also thank God that it's out of the way now. I mean, I wish it would have been back in episode 1 or whatever, but now that it's out of the way, we don't have the specter of like Hyunmin losing to Jinho at Final 3 in Quattro or something, and then that kind of sours all of our memories of the season.
Right, because the new Quattro, as potentially expected, it is not just a popularity contest. There is this whole new 6 virtual players thing. You have to trade with each of the virtual players once. There's some rule tweaks. At the end of the day, it is still quite a fluky game, a very high variance game. But it is, I suppose, technically a skill game, because there are right ideas and wrong ideas, and someone can play well, so to speak, and someone can play poorly. And that's basically what we saw here, where Junsak, I think he came up with the idea of trying to stick Kyung-hoon with the zero and basically planned his whole game around that, when in reality, the right idea, as is often the case, is to be in position. It's one of the fundamentals of poker. We see it all the time on these genius games. Getting to act after you've seen what your opponent does is critical, especially when that means that they're making all of their decisions before they know what you're going to do.
Yeah, and we won't go into it in too much detail, but Kyung-hoon, despite doing his best to throw the main match and guarantee that he's in this position, gets himself out of it very well by coming up with a strategy, employing it to precision, and then beating Junsak.
Maybe he just doesn't care about going to the death match. He's like, yeah, I've solved all of them anyway, it doesn't matter.
Which is great. I love that. He just doesn't give a single fuck.
So I guess, Dom, parting thoughts here on Junsock.
So a great addition to the season. I was not so sure about him coming in because his one episode back in the first season was not too exciting, but I think certainly proved that he was worth a spot here. And I also think that this was his right time to go. Like, insofar as you can say that about anybody on the show, I think if you'd asked me to pick someone to not make the final four, it probably would have been him. So fantastic addition to the season, but I think this was the right time.
Yeah, I would say Junsock, certainly one of the breakout stars of the season, absolutely delivered on, you know, it was really a shot in the dark, basically, to bring him back as far as I was concerned, having only seen him in one episode, but totally brought it this season. I'm guessing he will, at the end of, you know, as history will remember it, that Kyung-hoon will go down as the bigger kind of, like, out of nowhere star of the season, because he's going to obviously go deeper and potentially go on to win, who knows. I really, really love, first of all, the ambition in bringing Junsock back, and second of all, the ambition that Junsock brought himself to all of the main matches, and I really, really thought he added a ton to the season.
Yeah, and having said all of that, we saw Junsock say he had this final two deal with Kyung-hoon based on the premise that for the first boot and the second boot from their respective seasons to go on and make the finals would be this fantastic ending, and it really would have been. Like, for that to be the conclusion of the All-Star season of the Genius, however much we might want to see Dongmin or Jinho or Heumin in the finals, you can't really script a better ending than that.
That's what I was going to say, is I feel like if that had actually come in, and it was very close to coming in, like, a lot of things could have gone differently, and maybe that ends up being the case, where I would really have to start considering if this show was actually being scripted point by point, if that actually happened.
And it would be so different from, like, this curse that seems to afflict All-Star seasons of American shows, where, like, Big Brother All-Stars, you have the two people who nobody really expected to be there in Erica and Boogie. They, of course, make the final two. And then, even on The Amazing Race, which doesn't have that same social element, you have, like, Eric and Danielle, again, make the final two, I think. And then Survivor All-Stars, Amber, who is the least, you know, memorable person from her season in the cast, of course she ends up going on to win. But this
and
time...
And Austin Robb was the last guy in on the cast.
Yeah, and this... But this time around, it actually would have been the perfect outcome, I think.
Yeah, I mean, let it not be forgotten what a major role I think Junsock played here. Because, like I'm saying, I feel like Kyung-hoon is going to, 2 months from now, completely be the star of this season as far as breakout stars. But I think Junsock absolutely held his own on almost that level with K-Hound virtually for every episode he was in. Yeah. Yeah, and I know he had some quiet episodes. But I really do. Honestly, everything I want in a genius contestant is in there in Junsock, I feel like. All right. So, Dom, let's start looking ahead. I have Dongmin, as I've mentioned, number one on my board. I'm going to give my revised estimate 50% Dongmin win equity.
Are we going to be down to 25% by next week?
I'm already down to 4.
Okay. See, this might be a hot take, I don't know, but I would be really inclined to put Jinho in first.
I don't think that's that hot of a take at all. The more that we've talked about what a probably... He's probably going to have at least a 7-5 items advantage, and that might even be modest if he ends up getting there, and that's not negligible.
And this is despite everything I've said this season about Jinho being overrated and being the Sandra of the Genius if he, you know, goes on to win again. But I think the big sticking point for him is going to be the final four round and maybe the final three round, where at final three... If he doesn't win the main match, obviously he has to win the death match to get there, and that could be tricky. And then at final four, you know, either he loses himself or somebody else loses, and it's tough to imagine, like, Heumin getting picked or Dongmin getting picked for the reasons that we've given. So it's going to be Kyung-hoon or Jinho most of the time, I would wager, and so he might have to just win his way there from this point, which would decrease his equity. But if he gets to the finals, I think he is actually decently well set up to win, despite... you know, the tough competition that he will certainly face.
I think he would, by virtue of items alone, definitely be the favorite in the finals, just on what I'm assuming he will have as far as an items lead over K-Hound and Heumin. I'm not positive about over Dongmin, but I will say this, and this is where I think Jinho's equity takes the biggest hit. If he does not win next week or the week after, and he finds himself somehow playing 12 Jangi, I think against any of these three guys, he is a huge underdog.
Yeah, and that's going to be the issue, I think. And the other game is double-sided poker, which I imagine he would be decent at, but so
flip
would...
Flip a coin, as far so as would, I'm concerned. Yeah,
so would all of the other three people left. So, like, even as I find myself making this case for Jinho, I almost want to, like, revise it and put him in third or something, because I could see any one of these four just being the favorite and me not even knowing about it.
Yeah, I would say at this point, I'm giving Dongmin 20% or 50% equity, largely because of the edit, and I'm letting that play a much larger role than I really ever have prior to, you know, a couple hours ago.
So you think that this is consistent with a winner edit for Dongmin? Is it consistent with a loser edit as well? Like, is there some feature of his edit that maybe sticks out to you for the wrong reason?
Well, that's the thing is, like I said earlier, I don't know. It seems like every episode, Dongmin basically goes in there and does whatever he wants with two or three exceptions, honestly. It's like Fish Shop, Constellation Game, what else? I guess, you know, ID Exchange, arguably, where he still is getting his way the whole time, and then Sangmin just kind of goes in there and shanks him. So, but point being, I don't know what a Dongmin loser edit would look like. I would imagine it would look very similar, because he doesn't know he's losing. He's going to act the same way.
Yeah, it just feels so great at the final four of just a season of any show like this to not have a clue who could end up taking it down, because everyone has a pretty good shot. And that's...
I would say, yeah. I'm tempted to even bring Dongmin down lower now, because I want to say, this is what I'm going to say. This is my final answer. Dongmin, 40%. No, I can't. Okay.
39%.
I gotta put thought into this. Hang on. Let me put thought into this. All right. I'm actually going to bring Dongmin down even a little bit lower now, but here is my final answer as things stand right now. Dongmin, 40%. Jinho, 30%. Hyunmin and Kaehyun both at 15%.
You can't equivocate like that. Put one of the two of them higher. Come on.
I'll put Kyunghoon higher.
Okay, interesting. Yeah.
16-14. And Tom, by the way, this is the time wherein I would like to exercise the takesy-backsies clause of the trade that we did.
So, oh God. I could give my own estimates, and I imagine you will force me to, but I know I'm going to end up revising them probably the moment we stop recording, because it's so hard to...
I do that every single time, too. Yeah.
But this time, it's actually justifiable, I think, because you think how rare it is, you know, at the late stages of a Survivor season or a Big Brother season to think, okay, any of these people could legitimately win, and I would be happy with any of those outcomes.
I mean, think about how rare it is to think of, hey... multiple people out of this group could win, and I would be happy with either of those outcomes, let alone anyone from this group. It's rare that we even get like a Malcolm and Denise or a Spencer and Tony or whatever, where it's not abundantly clear or there's only one good winner. Yeah. But hey, I mean, who knows? I could see BB17 being that way with potentially a few people in there.
No, particularly, no way.
Trademark J-Hound, my boy James, winning to BB17.
That is not even in the same universe. Don't even compare that.
I'm kidding. Of course it's not in the same universe. But Dom, I'm totally with you. I mean, this could absolutely go any number of ways, that number being four. What else do we want to be getting to this week?
Okay, well, I'll call my shot quickly and then revise it next week, of course. I will say for now, I will go Dongmin, Jinho, K-Hound, and then Hyunmin, I think.
I need some percentages here.
Ugh.
It's all right. Can I just say to the people listening right now, it's not easy to quickly, while on air, add up to 100.
Yeah, you could easily find yourself adding up to like 105 or something, and it just be completely absurd. But okay, I'm going to say Dongmin 32%.
Wow. The ultimate hedge.
Jinho at like 28. And then
good luck adding this up to 100.
That gives me 40. I made it even. Okay, so then I'll say Kyunghoon 22%, and then Hyunmin 18.
All right, I actually like your percentages better than I like your percentages better than I like my own. I think mine. I don't know. I like my own percentages. All right. So Dom, next time we're going to be playing another game with guests. It is the annual partner game. We got some cordyceps coming in, apparently, whatever the fuck that means.
There's a lot of hype for cordyceps right now, and I love that Kyunghoon has somehow managed to find someone even more Kyunghoon-esque than he himself is.
What color is this kid's hair? I couldn't remember if it was, like, gray or yellow or what.
I feel like if you took the audience for the genius and you had them guess, like, okay, which genius player does this partner correspond to? 100% of people would correctly guess Kyung-hoon. It's like, there's just no possible doubt.
Yeah, the kid, from what I recall, looks like a 17-year-old Asian Andy Warhol, basically. Yeah, all right. Well, Dom, anything that you have to get to before we get out of here?
No, I'm good.
All right, well, follow at Genius Takes, follow at DomHRV. I'm at Colin Stone. Thank you guys so much for listening. We will be back next week. Take care, everybody.